Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Friday, February 10th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, Kentucky and Alabama from Tuscaloosa on Saturday. The big reveal of the top 16 teams in the NCAA tournament happens Saturday, but it really doesn't mean one thing. We've got hot stove baseball, ladies and gentlemen. What else is there in mid-February? Charles Oakley now can't even walk into Madison Square Garden. Joe Montana earned points in our book for being bitter to the end. And of course, it wouldn't be a Friday during college basketball season without our white hot picks, in which we went 3-0 in our last podcast. So let's go.
You are listening live.
Kentucky and Alabama live from Tuscaloosa on Saturday. The line on this one is 7 points in favor of Kentucky. We know about Kentucky and, of course, their defensive struggles of late. But who is Alabama? Avery Johnson, the coach. Avery Johnson Jr. was their high scorer in their last game. According to Ken Pomeroy, the 61st best team in America. But this team is all about defense. 24th in America defensive efficiency compared to 196th on offense. The Tide 14-9, 7-4 in the SEC. But they've lost 3 games at home this year to Dayton, Auburn, and Florida. And also, if you're looking at common opponents with Kentucky, out of conference, Alabama actually lost to Valparaiso. But that was back in December when Kentucky was rolling and Alabama was trying to find themselves. Quite a bit has changed since then. In the SEC, Alabama is 11th in offense, 3rd in defense, and this team cannot shoot. They are 307th in America in free throws, 285th in three-point percentage. But on defense, they are 14th nationally in field goal percentage on two-point shots. The best player Alabama has, not the leading scores. We go inside the numbers here on the bottom line. Dante Hall, number 35, 5.8 points, but 5.7 rebounds a game. And his defensive numbers are off the charts. His plus-minus numbers are through the roof. And more than any other player on that team, when he's in the game, Alabama is at their best statistically. I can promise you that. So Alabama at 14-9. People are saying this is an NCAA tournament team. I don't think they are. But if they even want to be considered for the tournament, they have to win this game tomorrow. And you talk about which team needs the game more, because you hear those inane conversations quite a bit. Alabama really needs this game, but then again, so does Kentucky. With the way Kentucky's played the last 3 weeks, and the infamous practices this week in which Calipari promised to make his players puke and whatever, it'll be interesting to see how this team reacts going on the road this week, as opposed to last week getting absolutely lambasted down in Florida. Early in the season, if you were betting on Kentucky basketball, you had quite a bit of money in your pocket. The last 3 weeks, you've lost every single time. Now you're probably living under a bridge somewhere. So do I want to put a lot of money on this game? No way. We'll call it 76-70. Alabama covers, but this is not a game that we will be betting on throwing out there as one of our Mac Daddy Stogie picks for the weekend. Because A, there's a lot better games on the board, and you'll hear those later in the show. And B, we don't know what to expect from either team in this spot. Which Alabama team shows up? The one that went on the road and defeated South Carolina in 4 overtimes? Or the one that lost to Auburn at home? But if you put a water pistol to my ear hole, Alabama's defense will keep it close. So proceed with caution. If you want to put any jelly beans on this game, we won't be with you no matter who you take.
My turn, huh? Let's see.
Pick me, pick me. I got hoop dreams, coach. I got them bad.
Okay, Homer.
Yes, losers, losers, losers. You said Homer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Losers.
Mark Story had an interesting story in the Herald Leader yesterday about Kentucky now 999 straight games with a three-point shot. And of course, he went and reviewed some of them, going back to Aaron Harrison and Tayshaun Prince and Patrick Sparks and some other people and other shots at big times during tournament games. But I disagreed with the most memorable and the most important three-point shot during this streak. And I'll say this until I die. The most important three-point shot during this 999 game streak is the one that an opposing team missed. And I say this a lot. Fred VanVleet was a point guard for Wichita State. He's now in the NBA playing. By the way, that Wichita State team in 2014 that went undefeated in the regular season and lost to Kentucky in the second round, they have three guys right now in the NBA. So that team was legit. But Wichita State had the ball, down two, last possession of the game. They hit a three-point shot, the game is over. And their point guard, Fred VanVleet, shoots a three-pointer. And while the ball is in the air, I remember thinking, if that ball goes in, you're going to see an entire change in the attitude of Kentucky basketball. Not from a fan standpoint, but probably how business is done. Because the 2012 one-and-dones won a national championship. But you had gone through 2 years of basically miserable basketball here. 2013, the Kyle Wilcher NIT team. Not exactly one that people remember or even want to remember. That lost to Robert Morris in the NIT. And then the next year, you had the Harrison twins. James Young, Julius Randle. Preseason number one. What did they do? What did they do? They lost double-digit games. They lost 10 games in the regular season. People around here were saying, huh, maybe we need to start recruiting different players. Use a different strategy. Because this stuff sucks. Yeah, we got a national championship, but we've gone through 2 years of hell now. I will say to my grave, if that shot goes in and Wichita State beats Kentucky in the round of 32, everything changes. Everything changes. But that's revisionist history, and you can't judge the result. Kentucky wins that game, gets to the national championship game, a game they should have won against Connecticut. So for my money, you can talk about the greatest three-pointers in Kentucky basketball history. But in the Calipari era, the biggest three-point shot was the one that Fred VanVleet from Wichita State missed. Sometimes you can't find stuff in the box scores.
Okay, guys, I got a secret play I've been saving for the Olympics, or possibly the Final Four.
By the way, if you're thinking, how come Kentucky's not playing well anymore? What happened anyway? What happened to this team? Have you noticed that everything kind of changed when that freshman Hamidou Diallo came into town? Makes you wonder, huh? Why doesn't he play anyway? If he's so great, why doesn't he get out there and play? If he's going straight to the NBA, let him go. Let him go after next year. No harm in putting him out there this year if he's going pro after next year. I don't get that. Then again, I'm not the coach and I'm not ABC. Always be Cruton.
This is the third game in a triple header. Games to 11, ones and twos. Call your own fouls. Winner buys lunch. All right, start the game, you idiots.
Big story of the weekend, though, is going to be this bracket reveal coming up early Saturday, in which the NCAA selection committee will be releasing the top four seeds in each region on a preliminary basis 1 month before the tournament starts. Now, is this really something that you could use? No, it's not. We talked about earlier this week that a month before the tournament started last year, Joe Lunardi had Iowa as a number one seed, and they went on to lose six of their next seven games. So you have to take this with a grain of salt for what it is. But right now, according to Joe Lunardi, the number one seeds are Gonzaga, Villanova, Baylor, and Kansas. I'm willing to bet at least two of those are not number one seeds when the tournament starts in March. If you really want to make things interesting, name all 68 teams in the tournament. Because we all kind of know the top 16 teams. What good does that do? It's kind of like for the college football playoff, just telling you who the number one seed is. Hey, Alabama's the number one seed for the playoff. Oh, gee, like we didn't know that already. What about the others? If you really want to make this interesting, do all 68 teams. Then you'll have something to talk about. Otherwise, this is a waste of time, especially when you've got over 130 college basketball games to be played on Saturday, all of which could change these seedings almost immediately after they're released, rendering them basically useless. And speaking of Joe Lunardi's bracketology, there are now five SEC teams projected to be in the NCAA tournament. I don't think that's going to happen. Joe Lunardi somehow has Arkansas as a number 11 seed after losing at Missouri last Saturday. And Lunardi also has Tennessee as a number 12 seed. And both Arkansas and Tennessee are projected to be in those play-in games, the first four, meaning they're the last four into the tournament. Now, I know a lot can change between now and the tournament. Arkansas and Tennessee can play their way up several lines. They can also play their way out of the tournament. So you have to take these projections for the tournament brackets a month out with a grain of salt. I did read on ESPN today where West Virginia, who is a number 4 seed in Joe Lunardi's latest bracketology, and a team on this show that we have touted as one of our favorite teams this year by the numbers, ESPN says that West Virginia's poor RPI rating, which is an antiquated number as it is, might keep West Virginia out of the tournament and that they still have to do some work to get in. That's just how stupid this whole process is. There's no doubt that the Big 12, along with the ACC, are the best conferences in college basketball. The Big 12 is the best from top to bottom because they only have 10 teams and they play a round robin schedule, kind of like the way the ACC used to be. But they sold out to get football money, and they can thank Florida State and Clemson for having more money every year. But what they gained in football, they sacrificed for their beloved basketball, and that's how the Big 12 passed them up. But I digress. So enjoy that early bracket reveal on Saturday. If you're like me, you'll get absolutely nothing out of it.
Later, he gets the rebound, passes it to the man, shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
The NBA, where on-court action always takes a backseat to social media snark and off-court drama. We have not had a podcast since the Charles Oakley fiasco at Madison Square Garden. Here's what struck me from that. If you watch that video, do you see James Dolan just sitting in the front row? And he turns his head and looks, and then he turns his head back and looks out on the court. If he wanted to do something, if he wanted to help out, all he had to do was get up and say something. He just let it all happen. And of course, the fans of New York, who love Oakley from his days with the Knicks, although I remember him in his days as a thug for Michael Jordan in Chicago. And when I say thug, I mean a goon like in a hockey sense. Like how Wayne Gretzky used to have Marty McSorley fight all his fights for him. That's old school hockey. I haven't watched hockey in 20 years, but I'm just saying. And everybody is taking Oakley's side. Although Oakley today admitted that he was drinking a little bit before the game, but who cares about that? Even LeBron said Oakley for president. D-Wade has come out for him. Chris Paul has come out for him. The Knicks are in total panic mode because first today they fired their head of security at Madison Square Garden, and then this afternoon they banned Oakley from Madison Square Garden altogether. So you can bet that on Friday night there's going to be nothing but free Oak t-shirts and chants all night long. And Oakley, to his credit, has been all over the media the last few days. Everywhere you turn on the radio and some places on television, Oakley's explaining the whole story. But Reggie Miller said it best. If you're a free agent, why would you ever want to play for the Knicks when you have an owner that treats his former players the way he treated Charles Oakley, and you have a president general manager in Phil Jackson clowning his best player, Carmelo Anthony, the way he does? That says it all. But Phil Jackson came out today and said, you know what? That tweet that everybody says that I was cutting on Carmelo Anthony, I was misunderstood. Okay, Phil, then tell us what you really meant. When you're misunderstood, when you say that you're misunderstood, you know what usually follows that? What you really meant. So when you tell people, hey, now that's not what I really meant. Here's what I really meant. Blah, 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 blah. You told us that's not what you meant, but what did you really mean by that tweet? I think we had it spot on. It's just that Phil got busted and he didn't like it. So anyway, if you love the drama, make sure to check out the Knicks Friday night. I'm sure there'll be plenty of it.
And here they come over the midcourt line. Shapow! He turns it over in cross-town traffic.
But hold on, it looks like he's gonna rob the bank shop.
Speaking of drama, Saturday night, turned down for what? I can't tell you how many times I've seen that commercial in the last 3 weeks. That's an old song that's getting a revival. I'll just say it like that. Russell Westbrook hosting his old pal, Kevin Durant, Saturday night in Oklahoma City. And you can expect KD to get plenty of boos, especially from Russell Westbrook, who's now got 26 triple-doubles, third in the history of the NBA behind Oscar Robertson. So why is everybody going to watch this game Saturday night? Not because of the on-court stuff. Not because Russell Westbrook gets a ton of triple-doubles. No, they want to see Kevin Durant get booed. Because that's why we watch the NBA now. And that's why we pay attention to the NBA. It's not because we love the game. It's because we like the soap opera. And other than professional wrestling, The NBA is the best soap opera going in terms of professional sports.
Rise and fire. Oh, oh, he double dribbles. He has a hot sauce handle. From uptown. From the parking lot. He's brolic.
Shazam!
In other NBA news, Magic Johnson, who's now in some kind of position with the Lakers, says he wants to call the shots for the Lakers. Good luck with that, dude. They'll never let you call the shots in the with the Lakers. That would be like Charles Barkley claiming that Klay Thompson was a better player than Steph Curry. Oh, wait. I saw him say that very same thing again last night. Only Barkley. Apparently, the buzz around Barkley died down too much after his fight with LeBron last week, so he needed to say something else controversial. I'm telling you, the NBA on TNT, Thursday nights, that's the only place to get your drama these days. It's full of it.
We now return to the NBA on TNT on LSD.
Man, I'm out my mind!
The NFL, Kyle Shanahan, the former offensive coordinator of the Falcons, introduced as the 49ers' new coach yesterday, and he got a 6-year contract. Now, he wasn't grilled too heavily about that disaster he left back in Atlanta, but he also said that I'll remember that game for the rest of my life, and it's the toughest defeat ever, and I'll never get over it. Well, it's a lot easier to get over it when you leave town with about 15 minutes after the game's over. Of course, Shanahan said, oh, I wouldn't change a thing. And so did his quarterback, Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan came out and said, oh, yeah, I agree with every call that Kyle Shanahan made, or else I wouldn't have called it. Of course you would have. A, you were scared to death, and B, you had every chance in the world to change those plays, and you didn't. But Kyle Shanahan gets to go to San Francisco with his good buddy, John Lynch. They both have 6-year contracts. And John Lynch's daughter yesterday even said that the San Francisco 49ers were horrible. There's a good way to introduce yourself to the media with your new job. But Kyle Shanahan said there'll be no hidden agendas here. Oh, you mean like that one you had in Atlanta on Sunday when you kept calling those passing plays. Oh, okay. And he also begged the fans to be patient. Well, it's easy to be patient when you've got a 6-year contract. If this guy's last name wasn't Shanahan and his dad had won 2 Super Bowls, something tells me he would not be in the position he is today. Just saying. But the fallout's still happening in Atlanta, including Shannon Sharp on Fox saying that the Falcons shouldn't have fired their defensive coordinator, which they did for some reason, but they should fire their head coach, Dan Quinn, for allowing Kyle Shanahan to call all those passes at the end of the game. Now, I do put that on Dan Quinn a little bit for not overriding or not saying anything, apparently, but you can't fire the head coach that just lost the Super Bowl, or can you? Well, I guess not. So the Patriots are still the champions, but Joe Montana refused to say that Tom Brady was the best quarterback ever. Now, he didn't say that he himself was the best quarterback ever either, but he refused to admit that Tom Brady was the best. I never liked Joe Montana, but after that comment, I like him just a little bit now. You know why? That's bitter, baby. And he's bitter to the end. And as we always say on this show, there's 2 kinds of things we like in sports. Teams that cheat and players who are bitter to the end. Point, Joe Montana.
Train, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, be true to yourself, true to your country, be a real American.
How do you know life is good? You remember Ken Starr, the guy who impeached Bill Clinton and then went to Baylor and was the president of Baylor before all the cover-ups at Baylor made him resign? Well, guess what he gets to do now? He gets to go be in the Donald Trump administration. Wow. How many times could you screw up in life and still land on your feet? Impeach Clinton. Nothing happened. Go to Baylor. Become the president of Baylor. Watch as one of the worst cover-ups in the history of modern sports happens. And watch a girl get raped over 50 times and not say a word. Resign for that. And where does that golden parachute take you? Straight to the Donald Trump administration. Wow. And we say this on this show all the time. It's all about who you are in life. Ken Starr is either one of the greatest politicians in the history of the world, or he's going straight to hell for that deal he's made with the devil. One or the other.
You stink!
Ladies and gentlemen, it's February, but next week, pitchers and catchers report to spring training. So what does that mean? One of the best days of the year, baseball win totals come out in Las Vegas, and today is the day for that. The number one team, Chicago Cubs, 95.5. Can you take over 95 with the Cubs? There'll be a lot of people who do, I can promise you. Second would be Cleveland, 92.5. The worst team in baseball is projected to be San Diego, 64.5. But the Reds, surprisingly, are projected to win 73.5 games. And if you read Buster Olney on Twitter today, his immediate reaction to the over-under win totals for baseball, first thing he said, go under on the Reds. How do they have 73.5? Usually Vegas knows things we don't know, but I have to agree with Buster on this one. With that pitching staff, how in God's name is this team going to win 74 games? I have no clue.
And the pitch is hit in the air. Foul off first. Benzinger backing and calling. And the 1990 World Championship belongs to the Cincinnati Reds.
Speaking of the Reds being lousy, lather, rinse, repeat. Homer Bailey is injured yet again. Please stop me if you've heard this one before. In 2016, Homer Bailey received $18 million in salary. He pitched all of 23 innings. That's coming off a year in 2015 in which he was paid $10 million to pitch all of 11 innings. So now, Homer Bailey's injured again, and he's going to start the year on the disabled list. In the last 3 years, Homer Bailey has won 11 games, pitched 180 innings total, and for those 180 innings in 3 years, he was paid $37 million. Oh, by the way, he's making $19 million this year, $21 million next year, and $23 million when he's 33 years old in 2019. And add on to that, the next season when he's 34, the Reds could either pay him $25 million or buy him out for $5 million. So over the next 3 years, Homer Bailey is guaranteed $68 million. And this is a guy for the last 3 years has averaged 60 innings pitched a season. And you wonder why the Reds are in the position they're in? It's one thing to give Joey Votto, quite possibly the best hitter in baseball, as much money as they're giving him. At least he goes out there every day. It's one thing to overpay Brandon Phillips tremendously and watch him refuse trades. It's another to pay a pitcher $68 million over the next 3 years, and you know in your heart he's not going to give you anything. And don't forget, this is a guy that you're giving $68 million over the next 3 years. This is a guy with a career ERA of 4.24. You talk about a bad contract. If I hear one person say Joey Votto's got a bad contract, and then they don't bring up Homer Bailey, they'll have an argument on their hands very quickly.
All right, Vaughn, they tell us you're a pitcher. You're sure not much of a dresser. We wear caps and sleeves at this level, son. Understood?
By the way, the Reds signed Desmond Jennings this week before spring training started. Desmond Jennings, he of the career 245 batting average. If you're a fantasy baseball player, if you're a guy that kind of watches these young players, in 2010, 2011, he was considered one of the hot young prospects in Major League Baseball. His rookie season, in 63 games, he had 10 home runs and 20 steals. So people were looking forward to this guy, thinking he was going to be a big deal. Sadly, that's been his best year to date, because in the next 3 years, after that rookie season, he averaged 12 home runs and batted 248. But Desmond Jennings will make this baseball team, and he will get playing time this year. How much depends on how healthy he can stay, because the last 2 years, he's only played 93 combined games. And that's why his stock is as far down as it is now, because three of his first 4 years, he had an OPS of over 100, which means he was a better than average player. So quite possibly a diamond in the rough for the Reds and Desmond Jennings. Let's see how he comes out of spring training.
Taylor, what are you doing back up here?
Couldn't cut it, the Mexican League.
That's your wife and my kids.
By the way, you want to feel old? 17 years ago today, Ken Griffey Jr., at the age of 30, was traded to the Cincinnati Reds. And he was coming off a season in which he hit 48 home runs, had 134 RBIs, and had 24 steals. In 9 years with the Reds, after that, he never had more than 6 steals. It's amazing how Ken Griffey Jr., who led the American League in home runs 4 times, came over to the Reds and was a good player, but not even close to the great player that he was with Seattle. And Ken Griffey Jr. is in the Hall of Fame. He's wearing a Seattle Mariners hat, not a Reds hat. But still, hard to believe that was 17 years ago today. that Ken Griffey Jr. became a Red. If they knew then what they know now, they probably wouldn't have made that trade, even though they didn't really trade away anybody to get it. The ironic thing about it, Ken Griffey Jr.'s highest salary with the Reds was $12.5 million. Homer Bailey will make a lot more than that each of the next 3 years. Yeah. Life is fair.
Top of the sixth, and rookie sensation Ricky Vaughn on the pitch now. You can close the book on Kelner.
Thank God.
One more thing on baseball. The commissioner came out yesterday and said that we're going to re-examine our stance on gambling. Oh, really? You want people at the stadium betting? You're already a sponsor of DraftKings Daily Fantasy Baseball, and you're going to re-examine your stance on gambling? How do you think Pete Rose feels about all this? Especially when it comes to Hall of Fame voting. Be careful what you wish for, Major League Baseball, because you can't have it both ways. You want to make the money from the gambling, but you don't want to let Pete Rose out of the Hall of Fame. Make up your mind. Draw a line in the sand and pick a side.
Break out the champagne. It's in the bag. The fat lady has left the building.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash. Cold. That's what I need.
Now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, smooth, Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver, yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, it is time for our white hot Mac Daddy Stogie college basketball picks. And ladies and gentlemen, I have to admit, we are on fire. A winner Wednesday night with Missouri covering against Texas A&M. Two winners last night, Duke over North Carolina, UCLA over Oregon. Our dogs against the spread, 21-9, 70%, which is something we'll brag about until the season ends if this keeps up, because 52.38% is the magic number you need to break even. And our upset specials on the air, in which we take unranked teams to beat ranked teams and or lower-ranked teams to defeat higher-ranked teams. Those games are 18-9. That's 66.7%. So we are hitting on all cylinders right now. Do you want to play the streak? Or do you believe in regression to the mean? We're going to find out this weekend. So here are our picks for this coming weekend. We'll start right off the bat with the number one team in America. Gonzaga, number one undefeated. Traveling to St. Mary's. Gonzaga a 4-point favorite in this game. If there's ever a time that Gonzaga is going to lose during the regular season, it's going to be this time. And we talk about how we like to go against the best teams in America against the spread. Well, Gonzaga not only sitting at 25-0, but they're 17-4 against the spread this year, including 24-5 in their last 29 games. And does Gonzaga wear out St. Mary's? You better believe they do. Gonzaga is 10-1 the last 11 games against the spread against St. Mary's. But what happened last year? These two teams played twice in the regular season. St. Mary's won both times. Now, Gonzaga won in the conference tournament, but St. Mary's has played this team well, especially last year in the regular season. They played earlier this year at Gonzaga, and Gonzaga won that game by 23 points. But Gonzaga has covered 5 games in a row. Sets a little doubleheader with Portland when we took Portland 2 times in a row, and Portland covered 2 times in a row. St. Mary's is lying in the weeds, basically waiting until this rematch with Gonzaga. And last night, St. Mary's played that famed Portland team and only won that game 51-41. And that was at St. Mary's. Do you not think that St. Mary's was looking ahead to this game? Number one team in the nation. It's going to be on national television. You don't think this is St. Mary's season right here? I can promise you it is. And as good as Gonzaga is considered in the sabermetric community, St. Mary's is not very far behind. This St. Mary's team is a very good team. 22-2 on the year. And granted, they haven't played anybody either, with their best wins being over Dayton, Nevada, and BYU. But if we're going to kill Gonzaga for strength of schedule, we've got to kill St. Mary's too. The number one team in the nation struggles mightily with St. Mary's on Saturday. If you're going to give us 4 points, we'll take St. Mary's. Give us St. Mary's plus 4 against Gonzaga on Saturday. Other underdogs against the spread. Number 22, Butler. A 4-point favorite over Providence. These two teams played on January 1st at Butler. Only a 7-point margin. And Providence has covered their last 3 home games, including covering against Marquette and Villanova. Butler might win the game, But we'll take Providence in those points. Give us Providence plus 4 against Butler, another underdog against the spread. We use the term fraud on this show quite a bit. This team's a fraud. UCLA is a fraud. Gonzaga's a fraud. Well, one team that we definitely put in that fraud category, Maryland. Still ranked number 21 in the nation. Actually going up a spot after losing to Purdue at home last Saturday, a game we called. So how in the world did they go up in the rankings? Who cares about that? They're an 8-point favorite over Ohio State on Saturday. And in fact, when these two teams played at Ohio State a few weeks back, we had Ohio State plus the points against Maryland. And you know what happened? We lost that game. But we are not deterred. And I don't mean something that comes out of your butt. I mean, we are not swayed in any way. Ohio State is not very good this year, 15-10. But Maryland might be the worst 20-4 team in Power 5 basketball this year. And Maryland's coming off a road loss at Penn State, a game we correctly predicted here on the bottom line. So I've got a team in Ohio State who's lost 3 of their last 4 against the spread, who's got a lot of revenge on their mind from losing to Maryland at home on January 31st. And you're going to give me 8 points in Ohio State? Yeah, I'll take it. Give me Ohio State getting 8 points against Maryland on Saturday afternoon. And our last underdog against the spread, Vanderbilt, is an 8-point favorite going to Missouri on Saturday. Now, we all know Missouri is terrible. Missouri is 1-10 in the SEC. They couldn't score in a women's prison with a fistful of pardons. And Vanderbilt, playing well of late, winning 3 of their last 4, including road wins at Arkansas and at Texas A&M. But have you ever heard that phrase, give us your poor, you're tired, you're weary, whatever it is that the Statue of Liberty has? That's us in Missouri. This team couldn't cover a point spread early in the season. Now they're starting to compete. And in fact, we were on them the other night against Texas A&M when they were a 14.5 point underdog and they only lost that game by 3, covering that spread by 11.5 points. Now's the time of the season when you look at the really bad teams, the Missouris of the world, the LSUs of the world, and you look for spots where they can cover point spreads. And I think this is another spot for Missouri. We'll go against one of our credos here on the bottom line. Never bet on a coach with a girl's first name. Kim Anderson in Missouri covers against Vanderbilt on Saturday. Give us Missouri and those 8 points against Vandy. Now to our upset specials. Number 14, Florida State traveling to unranked Notre Dame. Earlier this season, Notre Dame traveled to Florida State and lost that game by only 3 points on January the 18th. Notre Dame at home, always a strong proposition. And in fact, they're 15-3 against the spread at home in their last 18 games. I've got a strong home team and a lot of revenge from Notre Dame. Give me the Irish. Upset special. Unranked Notre Dame defeats number 14 Florida State tomorrow. And our final upset special will go to Sunday afternoon. Number 11 Cincinnati travels to SMU. These two teams played on January 12th. A 2-point nail biter. 66-64 in favor of Cincinnati. Cincinnati has won 15 games in a row. They are 22-2 with an 11-0 conference record. But don't sleep on SMU. Larry Brown left them right before the season started, and they're still playing well. This team is 21-4, 11-1 in their conference. And on top of that, they're 14-0 at home. And where do they play this game? Dallas, Texas. Cincinnati's the higher-ranked team, but SMU is the better team. Give us number 25 SMU big over number 11 Cincinnati as an upset special on Sunday. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Our underdogs against the spread. Number 20 St. Mary's getting 4 points against number 1 Gonzaga. We'll take number 20 St. Mary's getting 4 points against number 1 Gonzaga. We'll take unranked Providence getting 4 points against number 22 Butler. We'll take unranked Ohio State getting 8 points against number 21 Maryland. And we'll take those lowly Missouri Tigers getting 8 points against Vanderbilt. And our upset specials, we like unranked Notre Dame to defeat number 14 Florida State and number 25 SMU to defeat number 11 Cincinnati. And those, my friends, are your Mac Daddy Stogie picks of the week. And you can take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them.
Do you know what? Every major sports service in the nation calls me for my games. That's right. You're getting my games from other sports services.
And that does it for the Friday, February 10th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Email anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. and make sure to like us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.